So I, from my own standpoint, what I find problematic, and I can only speak about KPFA's programming because I've not been exposed to BAI in, you know, several decades since I lived in New York, and I'm not, you know, that familiar with the other station's programming at all. What I find are two problems. The quality of the broadcasts really vary very wildly from really horrible and unlistenable, whether the subject interests me or not, to, okay. I would say I don't think there's anything that I would say is just wonderful. Just from a professional standpoint, in terms of how it's hosted and how things are covered and the kinds of, ways guests are sometimes allowed to answer questions, which are sometimes, 5 to 8 minutes in answering a question, only they never really get around to answering the question at all. And I would, and I think that a host to jump in. So to me, that's a problem of training of people who are on the air, and probably training of some of the editing as well in terms of sound bites that are used. The other problem I find is that we go from, one topic which might be, everything you ever wanted to know and then some about organic vitamins and supplements to, a show about the Mideast, and you're not necessarily going to be carrying the audience from one place to another. Because if you're not interested in everything you wanted to know about organic vitamins, you've tuned out, and you may not tune in time for something like the Mideast, which I think is very topical right now. So that, to me, is a real problem. The other thing is that as a listener, I would like to hear addressed things that are of the moment, things that are in the news right now. And I'd like to, rather than having a lot of segregated programs, this is the woman's show, this is the gay rights show, this is the Black Power show, this is the whatever, I'd rather hear the news from all of those issues and communities fed to me in programming such as Democracy Now!, or in the case of, KPFA, we have Flashpoints, we have the Morning Show that deal with a variety of subjects. And I want to hear news that I maybe don't get elsewhere. I want to hear perspective I don't hear elsewhere. And I want somebody to put all that together and give me an analysis based on the fact that, we're getting information that we don't get in mass media. And that's what I want to hear, and I want to hear it on whatever is a current issue or currently topical in the news, be it the volcano, erupting and the flights and what that will do to the economy and blah, 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 because that happens to be what everybody's talking about and what's in the news right now. And I want to hear something more than what I get on my mass media, which is, just very superficial, about the impact of that. And in this case, it might be impact, economic impact or reality of it, or, it might be also environmental. I really want to get news and information, and I don't want to have to listen for 24 hours in order to get little snippets here and there of what I'm looking for, because I'm not going to listen for 24 hours a day. And I think that's true for most people. So I think we're sort of, I think the issue is, and it has to do with review of programming, the reality at all of our stations, which may differ somewhat in the five stations. Again, I can talk best about KPFA, which I think, I would say there'd be a lot of resistance. There'd be a lot of union issues for people who are paid, and I agree. I think that all programs where the staff is paid or they're volunteer, need to be reviewed. But it would seem to me that we need to come up with who's going to do the reviewing, and what's the first deadline for getting this done? And it shouldn't be 2 years from now if we're talking about making a change and an impact on things that will also impact us financially, because none of us are in great financial shape. And I think other than Houston, we're all in pretty, various stages of not great financial shape, which impacts Pacifica as a whole. So to me, we need to come up with sort of a mandate on who does reviewing, what's the deadline for the first review of all programs, and it might be, you know, 25% of the programming by this date and 25% by that and so forth, so that we get through all of this and that there really isn't, you know, any choice in it. I think as part of that, you know, I've always said that if you can't get volunteers who can do fantastic programs in the Bay Area, and forgive me for the rest of you in other parts of the country, because I know that you have a lot of creative, wonderful people in different cities as well, but here in the Bay Area, we just have an awful lot of people who've been involved in a lot of different things and are quite talented. And if we can't get volunteer hosts that can do quality programming, it can't be done. We're not in the middle of Iowa. You know, we're in the Bay Area, for God's sake. And if we can't do it here, we can't do it anywhere. And so I simply don't understand why it is so dreadful. And I mean dreadful in terms of I've heard people who've been on the air for 3 decades and paid who every fourth word is to this day. And to me, I don't know how that's tolerated, how that goes on, and I can't listen to them. I simply can't. I think people do want an NPR quality in terms of the production values and the voices that they hear on the air. I think we have to do that. I think they want to have, I think that can be done without touching the content. You know, the content in terms of information-wise has to be the same. I would agree with the first person who spoke in terms of the, I don't know whether it's naysaying or just the old phrases that we hear over and over again, you know, whether it's oppressed communities and so forth. Rather than hearing oppressed communities, I'd like to know what's new about what's happening in their oppression, if there is something new. You know, I want some hard information. I don't want movement terminology that makes us all jump into the right camp, because it, you know, this is not a speech to get me jump into a certain camp. I'm only listening because I am already in that camp, and I really want information. So to me, we have a really serious problem figuring out how to have ongoing training for people who are currently on the air, and there's going to be tremendous resistance to that. Let's not kid ourselves. And review of programming. One of the things I suggested,
if we could close up pretty soon,
sure.
Because there's other people in the list.
I'm sorry, if I could very quickly, you know, one of the things I suggested that I think might be an idea is to test out new programming using the internet. Because we have endless time there, and people can, you know, get a lot of time that way, and I think it's the way the world is going as well, so we might as well get with the program, and that's it.
Get with the program. Okay, thank you very much, Sasha. That was very thoughtful,
okay.
And you've given us a job for our committee, which is to come up with a mandate and schedule for program review or somehow something around that. Let's see, Arlene, do you have any response to Sasha?
I think that's a very important part of it. And as I say, I would be glad to send out the programmer's agreement from WMNF, which at least gives their schedule, and then you can take and tear it apart and see what you can do with it to make it even better for Pacifica. You touched on a number of, I think, important points, Sasha, but one of the things that needs to be considered is that whole sense of patchwork programming and lack of continuity, and how many things can we be to how many different people. Yes, we're a community radio stations, but we can also get ourselves completely out of the business of having listeners if it becomes impossible to figure out what our programming is like. So that's, I think, something to keep in mind. And you also made me think about a couple of things that I didn't mention earlier, but somebody mentioned surveys or how can we get information. And one of the things that one can do is put a survey online for a period of time, and both on the airwaves and also by getting information out at other places in the community, inviting people to participate in that survey. And so you get some feedback that way. Sure, the bulk of it comes from people that are already listening, but you also do pick up some people that don't listen or that don't listen that much, and you find out why they don't listen more if they are listeners. The other thing that I might mention is people were talking about getting organizations involved, and I think at least two of our stations they're doing that through their community advisory boards by inviting members of various, inviting various progressive organizations in the community to send a representative to the community advisory board, and then hopefully using that person to carry back more information about the station to the organization, and hopefully getting a two-way street going between progressive organizations and Pacifica stations. And the last thing that I wanted to mention was, you mentioned, you know, not having much listening experience with other Pacifica stations, and I might suggest that as a programming committee, perhaps everyone could commit to giving 1 or 2 hours or maybe half hours a month to listening to some programming on other Pacifica stations online and getting some idea of what's happening in the network that might be different.
Okay, thank you very much, Arlene. That's a very good idea. Okay, next person on the stack is Leslie Rasper from KPFK.
Yeah, hi, Arlene. How are you?
Hi, Leslie.
First of all, I'd like to thank Jamie for sending out my motion, which addresses, among other things, review policy and making sure we've got those in place. I have a few comments here. A lot of it's redundant, and I'll be as brief as I can, but I do end with a question for Arlene. First of all, I want to say that KPFK, I think, is starting to really smooth out its flow and the flow of its schedule, and I suggest you that everybody here look at our program schedule. We've had some stumbles along the way, but they're working them out, and I think we're going to end up with a pretty tight program schedule. Unlike some on this call, my preference is that we have less coverage of the same topics with different analyses and more unique topics. If you're just talking about my listening, I certainly know about the volcano. There are a lot of other things I don't know about, and I would prefer to hear. We also have on our station two shows that are, I can't say sponsored by organizations. It's an interesting and strange relationship very well. And here I'm speaking of Indie Media on the Air and the Lawyers Guild. Both have dedicated volunteers that come in and do the show. They don't promote their organizations except in the title of the show itself, and they have very interesting takes on public affairs. Now, I see this as being a real problem with news shows, and I like the fact that both of these organizations are fairly local and represented by local people, but it does work fairly well for us. As far as training goes, I absolutely concur. Our folks need training. We need a Broadcasting 101 course, if for no other reason that everybody in the station has a common language and fundamental competencies, that they respect engineers and engineers respect hosts and producers, and all of that gets ironed out, which would happen with a course where you understood the kind of work that everybody else is doing. I think one of the ways we can grow our listenership is by being more present in our communities. And even the most commercial stations are out there at events. They're out there tabling. They're out there broadcasting from events. We don't begin to do enough of that, at least here at KPFK. We had two volunteer reporters. We had two unpaid staff at the anti-Nazi protest here. But because we don't have a news department, the station itself wasn't represented. There was no table. There was no interview that I saw. And we really need to have a news base that can do that. And we really need a presence at events like that that are happening around town. As far as one other small detail, you spoke of ownership, Arlene, and that kind of sent me off on a question I think is going to haunt us until we deal with it, and I'd like to be proactive on this, and that is having a clear policy on ownership and distribution rights of programs. And I think we can do something with a Creative Commons license that establishes the rights of unpaid staff in particular to distribute their own programs or use them elsewhere. And I think that we almost came up against that a few years ago as a problem. I don't know that it was ever fully resolved, and I think we need to have a written agreement establishing who finally owns the rights. Because I know some unpaid staff members have concerns about having their shows distributed without their knowledge, and the station has some concerns about unpaid staff distributing the shows that they might want in the archives. My question, one more comment. I really think this body should be focusing on process rather than product, and I think we will straighten out a lot of the problems across the station if we do that. If we start looking at specific programming types, I think we're going to butt heads and maybe never get anything done, but I think we can all agree on some basic processes that I've heard around here, like training, for instance, that I think everybody agrees on, review policies, and things like that that we can functionally accomplish as a committee. Finally, Arlene, my question for you, what resources are needed by the stations for programs?
What, I'm not sure what you mean by that.
I don't know what I mean either.
okay.
Do they need more policies? Obviously they need more money. Everybody needs more money. But besides money,
I don't even think money is the big issue, Leslie. I think that the issues involved are training, commitment, putting together committees, but also having individuals that have certain, I'm trying to think of the right word here. I don't want to say rights, but, one of the things that I think worked on the whole well, and it certainly wasn't perfect, but at WM&F, was that we recognized that in the final analysis, the program director had the right to make the decisions about programming. Were they supposed to take into consideration the advisory committee and surveys and other things? Yes. Would they have been strung up and quartered if they didn't take these things into account? Probably. But the bottom line was, you can't give a committee responsibility for something like programming and expect to come out with something that's going to be a product that people want to listen to. You've got to have, in the final analysis, somebody that's got some decision-making powers. I think we need, more policies and more review of programs at all of our stations, and that applies to WM&F as well as the Pacifica stations. I think that we need people that get together and feel the pulse of the community and at least deliver some advisory comments on what they're hearing and what they think needs to be done. I had another thought. And I'm open to a lot of comment in this area because I think there are a lot of things we need, but I don't think the answer is just throwing money at it. I think one of the things that happened at least one of our stations was that when money was fairly available, we started paying more and more people with their programming, but it didn't necessarily improve the content or the quality. And I think we can do a lot of that in a voluntary way as volunteers, and that's part of what community radio has been about. And sometimes we forget that when the money gets a little bit more easy to come by. The other point that you raised that I really do think we need to be looking at very carefully, and I'm glad you raised it, and that is a clear policy on ownership and distribution rights. I do know that at WM&F, the station maintains the right of if you produce something using their equipment and so forth, then you were expected to air it first on WMNF, but then you did have the right to distribute it, you know, if you had developed it. And we need to make clear what rights we have as stations and as a network in terms of archives, in terms of rebroadcast rights, et cetera, because you're absolutely right that those could become and can become and will become major issues at some point.
Okay, thank you, Arlene.
Thank you, Arlene.
Yeah, that's a very good comment you had about the our own experience with more money doesn't necessarily mean better programming. Okay, let's see. Next on the stack, well, on the stack, the remaining people are Sharam, Apia, and Betty. So why don't we go to Sharam?
Hello. Okay, this is actually a very intriguing discussion. I'm glad we are holding this discussion. A couple of things. I think as far as reviews go, it's something essential. We need to do that. We tried that experience at KPFA. The process was sort of prolonged. It went on for about 18 months. And it practically reviewed every program on the grid. And this was a combination of staff, paid and unpaid staff, department heads, and representatives from the community, as well as LSP representatives. And basically nothing came out of it. I mean, it's one thing to do the review. The other thing is there has to be a will to make that decision to implement or incorporate those changes. And I think that seems to be something that has been, that sort of willpower has been missing in the picture, at least at the local level I can speak about. One thing about you know, what Arlene correctly pointed out is the way we sound on the air, the input that she's getting from our listeners, I'm getting a similar input from people. You know, what we used to stand for, obviously, we are not what we used to stand for in many respects. If you look at the history of KPFA, this was the programming that was presented by KPFA that used to be very, very, very rich in content. It has to have in-depth analysis. It wasn't merely a bumper speaker type politics, you know. And at the same time, it had some connections. Perhaps it wasn't as diverse, the connection it had to the community. But it had some connections to, for instance, some of the surrounding communities, such as it had good connections to some of the universities around the station, and the student body as well as the academia. You know, that is something that is missing from the picture now. When I go and talk, I haven't been as active on the campus for the last 12 months or so for different reasons, but I remember when I was going to different colleges, as well as UC Berkeley campus, and when I was asking people how many people actually listened to KPFA, there were a whole bunch of students who hadn't even heard of KPFA. I mean, there were probably a couple of hands going up saying that they were listening. So we are obviously, we are not there. We're not out there in contact. And I think that's one of the things that is that makes the programming stale. We are not connected to many of these activist circles. We are not so. I think one of the things that is missing from the voices, a lot of voices on our grid, is the passion. And you know, some of that passion sort of runs out after being on the air for 20, 30 years. A single voice being on the same program all the time. You know, there are different ways to address that, obviously. But, you know, that passion is after a while it goes away. It sort of becomes a routine thing for people to go on. And I think that's something, so it makes our programming sort of, it lacks the soul that it needs, you know, to appeal to people. One thing the NPR and other stations are doing, obviously, is they make up for that sort of lack of critical content and also lack of that, perhaps, that sort of a conviction, intellectual conviction or political conviction, by being slick, by having really good production quality. And this obviously is missing from our grid. You know, I think, so what we have left with is, in many respects, and I mean, I'm not talking about the entire programming grid, But in many ways, what we are missing is in-depth analysis. We are missing that passion because we have no connection to a lot of communities, activist communities. I can cite many examples. Arlene was, she knew about one, at least on our campus, just recently on UC Berkeley campus. But that's just one example. It was how detached we are. And then thirdly, our staff are not trained adequately to go on the air, myself included. We haven't had really formal training. We haven't had any adequate or sufficient training for people to host or interview, have interview skills, production skills, and mixing the program, making the transition smooth, and all the stuff that make the programming, actful and skillful, and it makes it slick in many ways. It just sort of appeals to the listener. So we are lacking those production qualities. So to make the long story short, I think money is well spent if it is diverted to training. And I think I know that a lot of people on KPFA landscape would be using that. We would be able to use that training. So what I would like to see is probably, as you said, in increasing the production quality. In terms of the content, we need to sort of try to stay, as Sasha, I think, correctly pointed out, we should try to focus on more in-depth analysis. And one last thing on Al Jazeera, I think it would be good, I don't know if this is the right platform to discuss it, but it's sort of good to look at the Al Jazeera question in conjunction with FSRN, so we don't sort of lose sight of what the mission of Pacifica is about, even though I do support having the Al Jazeera network on our airwaves. And I think actually in our local area, KCSM, which is a local television station and PBS station, carries Al Jazeera on 4 p.m. and 5 a.m. in the morning. So I think we need to kind of move on that front. I think Al Jazeera would need us, if I may say so, because they're trying to make headway into the, if you will, market of the United States. And we can use them, and I think it could be a mutual beneficiary relationship. So I'll leave it on that, if you will. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Arlene, do you have any response or comments?
I think pretty much what I would say to that has been covered, but I think one of the things that's emerging is the need for training, and more training.
Yes.
Can I make a comment, or can I get on the stack or whatever?
Okay, Kim, why don't I put you on the stack at the end? Well, we can see where we are, whether people want to continue with this item after we go through the stack one time. How about that? I think that's
probably fair. We haven't got through yet.
No, there's still two more people who would like to have spoken yet.
Yeah.
So next on the stack is Afia and then Betty.
Excuse me. Good evening, everybody.
Hi.
I just want to add to or affirm the a couple of points that have already been made, one of which was the point that Leslie made. Ooh, what's that? The point that Leslie made with regards to focusing on structure and process and policy as with less emphasis on content. Not that content is not important, but that I think that strengthening structure. Is someone having a conversation in the background? I would appreciate it if they would mute themselves.
Oh, yeah, folks, I'm sorry. This is Jamie, your chair. If you need to mute your phone, you can press #1, and you'll be able to hear the conversation, but we won't be able to hear you. So if you're talking or doing something else that has any noise to it, that's fine.
It seems like I think we're getting feedback.
Yes.
We're hearing another call.
No, we're actually getting feedback when I pause. See, there's a pause. So it was actually feedback, but anyway, go ahead.
Okay, but I think, Fia, we can hear you speak, so why don't we keep going?
Okay. I think that I want to associate myself with the comment that was made with regard to having surveys, establishing surveys, as opposed to relying on certainly purely on anecdotal input, since we tend to wind up talking to the same people or the same kinds of people, that we create a formal vehicle that to maximize input and get closer to an objective assessment of what the listening audience, the staff, and such are thinking. And in addition to that, to access other instruments. With regard to structure and process, I think that it's critical to strengthen the CABs and the program committees along that same line of maximizing input and broadening the opportunity for input so that we are getting as close to an objective and a scientific reading of the various communities as we can. And when I say listening audiences, let me put it, and listening areas as we might. With regard to, Arlene mentioned a number of times a program agreement and making it available. I would urge that you send that to Jamie, Arlene, and then he can send it to the rest of the committee, to the entire committee. And those of us who want to take a look at it will then have it and be prepared to talk about it in the future. With regard to organizations versus individual programming, I would point out that, you know, Democracy Now! Is an organization. We think about it in terms of Amy Goodman, and sometimes we think about it in terms of Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. But it is an organization. And I think there is something to be said about having an organization assume do programming, especially when that organization has a tendency to or has the same political outlook or is has an outlook which is consistent with our mission. It saves us the necessity of finding and building program ourselves in order to make sure that a certain area or subject is covered. So I don't think that simply because the course is an organization that it ought to be. Ooh, what is that?
I don't know.
I would, along with training, I would say community involvement. I think that in the same way that people have lost the edge because they've been on for so long, we've also lost the edge, and I think that most programs that have been on for so long are guiltiest of having lost community contact. So I would say that the two critical actions would be complaining, and the second would be community involvement. And that community involvement would strengthen two of our formal units, and that is the CAB and the program committee. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Fia.
The only comment that I would make, Fia, is I really take exception to the fact that Democracy Now! Is an organization. They're a program, and as such, they've become a I don't know exactly what to call it, but it's not like an organization in the same sense that Greenpeace or the Sierra Club or Veterans Against the War are organizations. The purpose of democracy now is to produce a program.
Well, I don't think you and I are going to agree on that, so I'm going to leave.
Yeah, that's okay, but that's just a comment.
Okay, thank you, Arlene. Okay, and the final person on our stack is Betty Dobson from the WBAI Local Station Board.
Hi, Arlene. I'm a new member.
Good. Welcome,
enjoyed,
Betty.
Thank you. I've listened, and it's quite interesting. I just want to talk a little bit about attracting more listeners. And I think one of the ways that I think that we could attract more listeners is to become more involved with local programming. You know, in New York City, we have five boroughs, and we have these other counties like Rockland and Nassau and what have you. And I think it would be attractive to listeners if they could hear something that was specific to their borough. In every borough and every county, there are, you know, these unique concerns and activities and scandals. And if it could be arranged for a 10 or 15 minute news or information moment about what's happening in that particular borough, I think it would have great, great appeal. And I would also say that one of the reasons that Democracy Now! Is so popular is because they do investigative reporting. Now, someone mentioned using university students. It just seems to me with all the major universities that we have here in New York City that WBAI could engage some of those students that are communications majors to do some investigative reporting and make use of them by allowing them to provide information about their reports over the air. I think that live programming, which is few and far between on WBAI, is really a way of attracting listeners. And I do think that if we're going to seriously put forth a serious effort to attract additional listeners and supporters, we've got to get out into the community more. I live in Nassau County, and I don't think there's ever been anyone from WBAI to come to my area to do anything. I could be wrong since I'm a new member. But I think that we've got to concentrate more on increasing the interest of folks from these different boroughs here in New York City. And that's my comment.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, Betty. Let's see, Arlene, do you have a response to that?
Just that I think we need to remember that as radio becomes more and more dominated by, you know, single formats and nationally produced and computerized, that our value is in its local, in the fact that we are local stations, and we need to keep that in mind and make sure that we, for lack of a better word, I'll say mind that concept.
Okay. Okay, so now, folks, it's 10:16. We agreed to end the meeting at 10:30. We have some other stuff, which, of course, could be postponed, but we need to set a date for our next meeting. And we had two items regarding committee chair and secretary, which would probably be good to deal with. Kim Kaufman had asked for, I mean, I think this is a very interesting discussion. It's given us a lot of framework to move forward with. Kim had asked for to re-be on the stack. Is it okay? Anybody have a problem if she makes one more comment and then we move on?
I'll do it in 60 seconds.
I move to extend Kim to 60 seconds.
Okay, Kim, go for it. I don't think anybody.
All right, I'm so glad. Thank you very much, because I've had this idea and this is like the perfect place. And I've talked to some people. I think one thing that each station can do is to have an email newsletter. Now, we can't use the emails that we've gathered from fundraising because people haven't given us permission. But from the website, you know, do on-air promotion, come be on our mailing list and have people sign up to be on our mailing list. Have that as announcements of, I don't know whether it's weekly or sporadically, but it's a way to interact with our listeners. It's a way that we could get feedback from it, but it's a way to engage the listeners thus far.
Exactly.
And it won't cost much. I mean, it'll take somebody to do it, but, you know, there should be some kind of volunteers. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yep. I might just mention, I think that's a great idea, and I would caution that one way to keep it interesting and to keep people involved is to make it a list that only a very limited number of people can post to, and that anyone else needs to send in their information to a central source so that it doesn't become a place for diatribes.
No, I mean, it would really be announcements of programming. We have a lot of programming changes on KPFA and cultural events. And it could morph and change as we see. But it's a very good fundraising tool, and it's a way to get people involved.
It's a folio, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's very good, Kim. Thank you very, very much. Okay, well, I think we've exhausted our stack. And let's see. First, I'd like to thank Arlene for being with us.
Does that mean literally or physically? You've exhausted the stack, yeah?
depends. For us on the East Coast, it's not too far. It's getting close to bedtime for us guys who have to get up in the morning. But, I mean, I just mean, I didn't really mean like we're exhausted. But we have a few little
I'm just totally kidding.
Of committee business to do. I just suggest that we deal with that. And then... we'll review. I would like to sort of summarize the various comments that I've heard both from committee members and from our executive director and send it out to the committee, and we can work from that to develop a framework to move forward. But let's see. One thing we have to do is set a next meeting date. I would suggest May 10th, which is the second Monday in May. That way Jim can be here. Is there any objection to meeting on May 10th?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Also?
Go ahead, Leslie.
I heard someone before me.
Okay.
It was Alberto. Just very quickly, my experience has been that by now many of the dates have already been taken by all the other committees.
So you want me to look on KPI?
Well, just because, you know, I'd hate for us to set up a meeting and then another committee has already taken our date up. That's it. Go ahead, Leslie.
Well, I was going to say the Racism and Sexism Task Force is meeting on the 10th.
Oh, I see. So that means we cannot do it? That's taken?
They're meeting every second Monday. And I'm on that committee as well.
If I might suggest, we should probably pick a regular time, you know, the third Monday or the first Monday or whatever it might be.
Yeah, we had sort of gone with the third Monday, but actually that doesn't work out for one of our committee members who's always busy that day. So we need another day. All right, well, I'm waiting for the
excuse me.
Up here. Yeah?
Jamie, I don't remember the particular Monday, but I thought that last month we had more or less agreed on a regular monthly meeting, and we were only going to do it this month on a different day on account of the in-person meeting in Houston. And I thought that it was taking into account that whatever the date was, it was taking into account the fact that there was one person that, you know, had their regular LSP meeting.
Wow. Okay, I finally pulled up the schedule. And you're right, Monday is a very popular night for PNB committees. So we are scheduled for the 17th, but then Jim won't be able to make it. So it would probably be good if we could schedule a different day. What about...
right, and it was 17th just this month or something?
No, we're scheduled
no.
for May 17th, which is
May
the third Monday of May. What about Wednesday the 12th?
I can't do Wednesdays.
Can't do Wednesdays.
No.
Period.
Okay, how about Tuesday the 18th?
Kathy can't do Tuesday.
Pardon?
Isn't Kathy on this committee? No.
No, Kathy's
not
on
this. No, she's not.
It'd be helpful if you would say which instead of the particular date, if you used, you know, whether it's the second Tuesday or the fourth Wednesday
okay,
or whatever.
Well, Wednesday, Tuesday, it's the third Tuesday. I'm just looking at the calendar and trying to find a vacant date. We could continue with the third Tuesday if that works out for people. All right, well, I don't hear any.
Tuesday
isn't today the third Tuesday?
Tuesday and Thursday did not work for me because I'm responsible for my station on those nights.
And Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Usually what we have decided at the Finance Committee, unfortunately, is to meet twice a month, and it seems like we're doing it on the first and third Tuesday of the month right now, but it's not really, 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 really set for the same reasons that we can't set our meetings for the other committees.
All
Jamie,
right.
If I may make a suggestion for May, we have a fifth Monday in May that would get us through one more month.
Is that Memorial Day?
Yes.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Oops.
Okay,
sorry.
Well, then, that's a good suggestion. What about Wednesday the 26th? That's the fourth Wednesday in May.
I can't make any Wednesdays. I teach on Wednesday night.
Teach on Wednesday. Okay, so Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are out, but Mondays are all taken. So that leaves us with Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which are not popular nights for committee meetings. So either we have a meeting at night, somebody cannot make it.
You're telling us that every single Monday is taken up?
Yeah, Monday the 3rd, we have Personnel Committee. Monday the 10th, we have Racism and Sexism. Monday the 17th, we have Programming, but we can't meet Monday the 17th. Well, Jim can't make it. And Monday the 24th is the Audit Committee. I mean, is it correct that two Pacifica committees cannot meet the same day? Is that correct?
Yes. I think I don't know, we haven't passed that motion yet, but it's up for being passed at the in-person meeting. That was Kathy Davis's motion.
Well, is it technically possible to stream two meetings on one night?
Wait, Mr. Chairman?
I don't think the Audit Committee meets that often.
But it's scheduled for Monday the 24th.
Yeah, but that may be their only. They don't meet regularly. I don't think
the audit committee is meeting every month now.
Why?
Mr. Chairman, point of information.
Alberto.
Yeah, our first meeting of the Finance Committee, which happened in March, was set because we were getting too late and we were unfortunately on top of the technology committee, and it really became a hassle because of the streaming, and basically our John couldn't be at the same place at two places at once.
So you're saying we really shouldn't be at the same day?
Well, we need to clear it with those people, eventually see how it can be done, but it really became a very big hassle, and the people of the technology committee got upset because a lot of persons went to the finance and the technology was left high and dry, so...
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. Okay.
Is there anything available on a Sunday night?
Yeah, all the Sundays are open. Do people mind meeting Sunday night? Well, doesn't the PMB meet Sunday night sometimes?
Sometimes.
Well, what if we were to meet Sunday the 9th or Sunday the 16th? That's the
I'm okay
Sunday.
With Sunday.
That's the second or third Sunday. Does anybody have any problem with either one of those dates?
We can try it.
I would do it if we didn't have any other choice, but I sure would like to explore. Maybe we could do it once if that's all that we can think of right now, and we do have to agree on something. But I think we should explore Alberto's idea. So why don't you just survey all the other meeting dates to see what's open?
Yeah, Sunday's killing me.
Okay, well then why don't we set it for Sunday what do we say, Sunday the 16th?
I won't be able to make it. There's a PRC conference in Humboldt County.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, why don't we say Sunday the 9th?
Please. Can we do it on the 23rd? Is that possible or no?
No, I can't do the 23rd. May 23rd?
Yes.
Or April?
May.
Or, yeah, May. I can't do May 23rd.
Okay.
Is there any serious objection? I mean, is there any can't-make-it objection to Sunday the 9th?
I'll try to make it. I have to change my schedule. Okay.
All right, that's the spirit. I thank you for being flexible.
Mr.
Can we try to set up...
That's Mother's Day.
Wait, stop. Several people are talking at the same time. Yes?
That is Mother's Day.
That's not going to work.
No, that's Mother's Day.
Okay, then we're back to the 16th,
Mr. Chair.
The 23rd. Okay, Alberto.
I hate to say it.
Alberto, try to be quick.
But I really beg Benito's forgiveness for saying it, but our meeting is theoretically scheduled. We have a slot on the third Monday of the month, and only one person cannot meet on that particular day. What can I say? Thank you.
Yeah, Jim cannot make it. That date was set up before the committee was polled, so... I don't think we might have to meet on the third Monday sometimes, but I would not be comfortable meeting on it all the time unless Jim volunteers to leave the committee.
I agree. I think that's a
good
choice.
I agree.
So
what is it that we're agreeing to?
That we shouldn't always meet on the third Monday.
We can do it sometimes.
So Jim can do. Yeah.
Okay, so folks, so let's bring this to a close then. We have the 16th and the 23rd. Let's see, the 16th, Sharam can't make it, and the 23rd, Benito can't make it. So.
What about the 30th?
The 30th?
That's the holiday.
Yeah, it's a holiday weekend.
Yeah, that's bad.
Okay,
I mean, I'm more than willing to, just if it's just me, that's fine. You guys can, you know, meet on the 16th. That's
why don't we do the 6th, the 16th this time? And we may have to do the Monday the next month, and Jim will have a problem. I don't know. We'll do the best that we can. Okay, is there any objection to the 16th then as our next meeting date?
May what time?
16th? It'll be 8:30 p.m. Eastern time.
8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight on Sunday.
That's right.
May the 16th?
That's correct.
Okay, well, hearing no objection, that will be our next meeting date. And I thank you all for being flexible.
One-time date.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it's May 16th. So that's good. All right, well, now it's 10:31. Let's see, we should probably get through the rest of our committee business since we're all here on the phone before we get off the phone. Let's see, Benito has...
Before we move on, could we just... I think Alberto made an objective proposal earlier. I'm sorry.
Point of order.
Yes, well.
Could the chair just call on people rather than people just speaking out?
It's hard to call on them. You can't see their heads raised.
That's a good point. But Benito, you can. Yeah, I'm listening to you, Benito.
Yeah, okay, and excuse me, y'all. I was just going to say that we have to come to some. We have to identify. A regular monthly date so we can all plan around it. And so far I've only heard one objective idea as to how to do that, and that was Alberto's idea that check the PMB schedule, I guess is what he was referring to. I don't want to speak for you, Alberto.
Yeah, it's online.
Can I ask a quick question? I mean, I have control over scheduling my classes, so... You know, by the time we hit June, I could certainly change from Wednesday night to a different night of the week.
Okay.
Is there a Wednesday night that works in terms of the schedule?
It won't
help for May because I'm committed.
June,
but
the only Wednesday that's booked now is the third Wednesday.
That's booked.
Are the rest of the committee members, is Wednesday a possible night for you guys?
At KFW, our regular LSB meeting is the second Wednesday.
Okay,
what,
so we're out the second and third.
What if I were to schedule a meeting for June 23rd? That would be the fourth Wednesday.
Jamie, are you have access to the Pacifico site? What does it say about technology meetings? I forgot it's on Wednesday night, but I don't know which one.
The technology meeting, let's see. Technology doesn't seem to be scheduled.
Okay, all right. So we can
schedule first.
Okay.
Would people have any objection to the Wednesday the 23rd?
That's the 4th?
That's June, the 4th Wednesday in June. We can schedule that now, too, and save ourselves a little bit of time.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, hearing no objection, that will also be our meeting.
And we'll
try to do that on a regular basis on Wednesday.
So that's June 24th, I'm sorry.
June 23rd.
So that would be the regular?
Yeah. Unless people haven't. Well, we'll see how people are doing. We'll poll people in May.
Okay, so 10th.
Yeah, but definitely we're on for June 23rd. And if it's going to be every Wednesday, we don't know for sure at this point. Okay? All right, so now, having taken care of at least two meeting dates, we had a question about the election process for committee chair and election of committee secretary. If we could deal with these two items now, then we don't have to deal with them again.